Hello, hello, everybody.
Hey.
So, welcome back. It's been, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks since we recorded, so we apologize for the delay. It's been
busy times.
Yeah,
busy times. Lots going on.
Kooky, crazy beginning to the summer, but good. Life is good and full, and we're blessed. And, it's just been one of those times when we've been trying to find time to get together, and sometimes it's me and sometimes it's your schedule, and it just it is what it is. It's all good. We said going into this that this was only going to be a blessing and that we would just run with it as long as it was a blessing to everybody, and so far it's been good.
Yeah, it has been a blessing. This episode is a special episode. It's our 10th episode. But also, we are doing it in person. We're together for the first time doing our podcast. So I
haven't told you this, but I've been asked by 4 or 5 people. They thought we were doing it together
the whole time. They didn't realize we weren't?
No.
Okay.
So we are not doing this with microphones. We're doing this just with the iPhone and the microphone on the iPhone. So hopefully everything will turn out good and it'll sound good.
Yeah.
Maybe some of our popping and some of the other stuff that we've had in the past will go away. So we're here together.
I can keep Stephen from clicking his pen.
Yes. She can throw something at me, hit me, whatever works best.
That's right.
For you. Yeah. So it's been about a month. You had a birthday weekend with your girlfriends.
Birthday month.
We're still in the birthday month, by the way.
And it's funny because I've had a couple of people mention to me, they're like, well, I know it's your birthday month, just like in conversation. So I actually know that they were listening to the podcast because I can't remember who it was, but they were like, oh, but right, it's your birthday month. And so I was like, yes, that means you're a podcast listener.
Yes.
I did have a weekend away with my girlfriends, which was much needed. It was 4 of us, and we went to San Antonio and just had a really good time.
Did y'all stay down on the Riverwalk the whole time?
So we stayed at the Riverwalk. And we stopped to eat on the way. And ever since I was like in college or high school, my mom would always, when I would leave to go somewhere, my mom would always say something to me because I've always pretty much been like a rule follower and I was a good kid. And so I would leave to go do something and she would say, okay, get into at least a little bit of trouble. She always told me that.
Yeah.
And so, and she knows like the girlfriends that I go with, none of us really get into trouble. I mean, like we're all pretty, you know, pretty good. And so when we were leaving, she was like, okay, y'all get into a little bit of trouble. So I had to call her because, on our way, we stopped at a restaurant.
You got arrested.
Almost.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
We stopped at a restaurant for lunch that was popular on Food Network or something. And then right down the street was like a popular bakery. And so anyway, one of my friends had done the research on it. And so she's like, we need to go over there to that bakery. It's supposed to be really good. And so we're like, okay, cool. So we walked over to the bakery and I'm like, let's get it to go so that we can get back on the road and, you know, get to San Antonio. And so we're walking out and they're like, crap, how are we going to eat these pastries? We bought all kinds of different stuff, like they had cheesecake and cupcakes.
Y'all were going to have this with wine?
Well, we're just going to have it in the car.
Margaritas.
Like, because we still had a ways to go.
Right.
And we knew that we were going to hit traffic. And so it's like, oh, we'll, you know, be able to have some sweets. But we all picked something different and several things, like, to keep us. Anyway, we're like, shit, what are we going to do about eating it, you know? So we stole a fork, like a real fork from the bakery. Yeah. So I called my mom and I was like, okay, well, we're like an hour into our trip and we already stole silverware.
A fork.
Silverware.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's how much trouble I get into.
Yeah.
That's how much I crossed the line.
She's not a rebel.
As interesting as paint drying.
I don't know about that.
That's what you said.
Oh, I did say that. Okay. We'll go with that. No, I'm just joking. My kids are the same way, and I'm kind of at that point, you know, you try to raise them right, and then you get to a point, you're like, hey, go do stuff with your friends.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
still don't want them to go crazy, but
yeah.
you're at an age where your mother can tell you that stuff because she wants you to.
Yeah.
legitimately go do something to get in trouble.
Yeah, it was a good getaway, and we just, the best part, I think you asked me like what was the best part of the whole weekend, and it was the fact that we didn't have a schedule. Yeah. And we didn't have a plan. Like, we got there and everybody was like, what are you wanting to do, or where should we be? And I'm like, there is literally no plan.
Let's just
all
go.
Weekend, there's no plan, there's no time frame. Yeah. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And so Saturday we woke up late, we went to get something to eat, we went to the pool, and we stayed at the pool from noon until 7.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And y'all didn't get burned?
No, it was overcast.
Were y'all drinking margaritas?
We were drinking beer. And we had snacks. And we just stayed there. And it was like, we looked at the clock and it was like, wow, it's 7 o'clock. Maybe we should go in and get ready for the night. And we're like, and so they were like, what time do you want to go out tonight? And I'm like, just whenever we get ready. And so we went, and of course there's one shower to four of us. And, you know, it takes girls forever to get ready.
Really?
Yeah, it does.
No, I did not know that.
And so we got back to the room and we didn't get ready, and we didn't leave the room until 10 p.m. that night to go to the bar. And, so we went to a piano bar, and it was really fun. Good time to let your hair down.
The thing that you did, not them, that you did that was most, we'll say, out of character or most fun, that, because y'all went to a karaoke bar also?
No, not karaoke, just the piano bar.
A piano bar, mm-hmm. Sorry. And it's, yeah, so... I was going to say it's different, but yeah, duh, it's different. So at the piano bar, did you get up there and did they do a happy birthday thing for you?
They, my girlfriends requested a song, and they were hoping that they would, you know, call me up there, but they didn't call me up there. But, I took several shots. That was pretty out of my character.
The ones where they're walking around and...
Yeah, well, I took a shot in the room.
Uh-huh.
Like, a couple shots of tequila in the room before we left. They made me. And then we did some shots at the...
So, rebel mode. You were
mm-hmm.
let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Where'd y'all eat? What was the best?
We ate at Rita's on the River.
Yeah. Are you pimping it? Would you suggest it to other people?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was really good. Really good. One of the guys at the hotel that works at the hotel, he gave us, he had tickets, like coupons for Rita's on the River, so we got free queso there, and then we got free tickets to get into the piano bar as well.
Gotcha.
So cool. That was cool.
That's super cool. So that for those of you that have never been to San Antonio, Texas, it's kind of a thing that most Texans have done at some point. They have a river that goes through the middle of downtown San Antonio, and it's just filled with hotels and places to eat and bars and just pretty much anything you want.
Yeah, like, there's a really big mall.
Yeah,
there.
That's true.
And then you can even do
shopping.
Yeah, shopping, and you can do a little boat ride. So we took a boat. Yeah. We did the boat thing. I've never done that before, and it was funny because the boat ride is, I think, for the older crowd or the crowd that isn't drunk.
it's if you're chill.
Yeah.
And you don't,
like, if really... you're maybe there on a couple's weekend, like you do like a, you know, you're on a date or, you know, I was like, I've never done it. Let's do it. After we drank pitchers and pitchers of margaritas and everybody else was like, yeah, sure. That's fine. We'll get on. And so they're like, you know, stay in your seat. You are not allowed to stand up and don't talk. And blah. And we were like, this is a buzzkill, like literally. And the guy was,
you learn the history though.
You learn the history through some really bad jokes.
So the Spurs are down there. They have the arena down there. If you can, a lot of people go down there and go to concerts. There's the mall. And it's just kind of neat because everything's there and you can go and you really don't have to leave that downtown
area. No, you can park. All the most of the hotels have valet parking, so you literally just, you know, park your car and then you can hit up.
Yeah.
You know, you can stay there for a while.
And the Alamo.
The Alamo
was right there.
That's
too. So
true.
So we grew up doing that. And then as we got older, it's kind of, for me, I've done it a bunch of times.
Yeah,
and so it's... I'll still go if somebody else wants to go, but it's a good kind of fun way to just go be in one place. You're not drinking or driving, doing all that stuff.
And there was kids. I mean, people were doing like family stuff.
There's tons of family stuff too.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I was going to say is it's kind of weird because you can literally go with your kids And there's some bars and some restaurants and stuff where it's kind of rowdy, but it's almost separate. Like, you can just keep walking past them, and they really, you don't get until late at night, the people that have been drinking a lot or whatever really don't. It's a very cool, it's similar to downtown Oklahoma City. It's a cool family environment most of the time, and then Memphis is that way too. It's good. So, all right, cool. You guys also, you and Caleb went to the Holland Corn Festival.
Yes, we did. Yeah. That was the weekend late. I don't remember anymore. That was Father's Day weekend, I believe. Yeah. And that's close to our town, and we went to the parade, and then they have like food trucks and arts and crafts shops that you can walk around. Of course, it was like 120 degrees outside. And so we walked around for a little bit out there. And then Caleb got arrested.
Did he?
Yes.
Did he? Was he being belligerent? Was he peeing in public?
Yeah. Public intoxication. Yeah. So at age
too much milk.
At age 7, Caleb got handcuffed for the first time and got put in a police car. So that was fun.
Did you get the name of the officer?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Who was it?
Actually, it was a friend of ours. So sometime we need to do a podcast where I talk about my dad's accident and talk about there's a police officer in our life that basically saved my dad's life. Anyway,
saved my mom's life.
So Caleb is actually here with us in the podcast. Yeah. We forgot to mention that. Yeah. He's in the background. He'll probably peek in every now and then. But anyway, so this police officer, his name is Sean. He's become a friend of ours.
So in 1 minute, tell them how you first met Sean, or in the first time you personally.
I didn't meet him at my.
He participated in your event.
Okay.
When you were 10.
So when I was 10, I was in the school bus accident where I lost my arm. And Sean was the first police officer on the scene at that. So that was in 1993. Mm-hmm. And fast forward to...
He did not use his tourniquet?
No, because he didn't give me direct care. Okay. He was just kind of... He was more in charge of the other kids who didn't get hurt.
Gotcha.
So I had enough paramedics on me by the time he saw me.
Okay.
But none of the other kids in the school bus were hurt, and they all needed a place to go.
Right.
And so he was with all the other... That. He managed all the other kids. And
okay.
He had been... at that time he had been a paramedic for 8 years, and he had only been a police officer about 2 years.
So he was on the scene, first one on the scene when you were there. Then fast forward
24 years later, uh-huh. And my dad was in a critical accident where he got run over by a tractor and a plow, and Sean was the first responder and first police officer on the scene of his accident as well, and he actually saved his life because he put two tourniquets on my dad and kept him from bleeding to death. And at the time he had no idea that the two of us were connected.
Yeah.
He had because he never knew my name from the school bus accident.
Right.
He just knew that he said, I never knew how you fair.
How you did.
Yeah, how you did. He's like, I didn't know your name or anything. Mm. So when he came to visit my dad at the hospital, he asked me how I lost my arm. And when I went into that story, he turned white as a sheet and started crying. And he was like, I was the first police officer on the scene of that accident.
Gives me chills every time.
It's crazy. So anyway, that's who arrested my child.
so then when they were there,
it was crazy.
Then Sean was the one that that had Caleb in handcuffs. And they, you have pictures of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it on Insta?
Yes.
On Instagram? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
And you'll see pictures of me getting arrested.
Yes, Caleb's saying, go on my mom's Instagram and you'll see a picture of me getting arrested. So is it also on airplanes?
No, it's not on my blog.
Okay.
But
and then Facebook?
Yeah, on Facebook. Okay. So it was just funny. Sean's become, him and I have become really good friends. We just felt, as soon as he said he was there, it was just like an instant connection. We just felt really close. And so we keep in contact, and he's the chief of police in Holland.
Okay, cool.
And so, which is where my dad had his accident in Holland. And so Sean was in the parade, and he saw us, you know, when we waved at him and threw candy and all that. Yeah. And then after it was over, he was like, hey, where'd y'all end up? and so we met up, and he was in his car, and Caleb was asking it, like, can I get in your police car, and let me have the handcuffs, and so it worked out perfect. It was
That's
cute.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Good memories, good times, all that good stuff. All right. So there's been a lot of other stuff going on.
What have you been up to?
Well, I was going to say, you've been without Caleb for the past week.
Yeah, have been. Yeah, so he went with my in-laws, and... Mm-hmm.
So you're sane, and the house is well-organized.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I cleaned closets and did all kinds of organization while he was gone,
mm-hmm.
and it was a nice... It was a very nice break.
Nice little... Yeah, little,
he was gone for a week.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Tron handcuffed me to my mom.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, I have been, since school's out, I've been doing lots of camps. This is our busiest month. And as you can imagine, having three daughters, you know, each one kind of has their summer kind of tailor-made to some things that they like. And so we've been at basketball and volleyball and all that good stuff. My two middle girls just got back from the FCA leadership camp in Abilene. And that was awesome. We got to go and worship with them, and which was just really cool. Really, really cool. And it's a blessing for those of y'all that have kiddos. As you know, as they get older, it's a blessing to be able to worship with them and watch them just get excited.
So is it like, how many kids go to that?
Oh, geez. Probably 400 or so.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's really large.
Boys and girls?
Uh-huh. Guys and girls. They get up at 7 in the morning. And while the girls go eat breakfast, the guys have quiet time. They go get their Bibles and go somewhere on the campus there. And then the guys go eat breakfast and the girls go do the same thing. So they start out in the morning, kind of similar to what we talk about. You know, if you win the first 15 minutes of your day, you can win the day. And so they try to start out teaching them and reinforcing in them to go get in the Word and pray and study a little bit. And then, yeah, they go through the whole day and they're busy. They have, swimming, they have, lots of sports and athletic stuff. They have large group, small group stuff.
Cool.
And then they finish the day, in chapel. And, it's just a good environment with good, positive people that love and care about the kids. And, I mean, as a parent, you go there and you get to watch a little bit. And it's just motivating to see all these other parents and people and teachers. And we know one of the regional directors, Carrie Norman, and Holly Hubbard went from our school district. And so Victoria is actually an officer in the FCA here. And that's one of the things. She wants to build this up. I forget the name of the town. I'm probably going to screw it up. But there was a town that had... four buses come, 84 kids.
Mm.
And our high school had like three. So,
oh, wow.
So we had a total, that's probably not entirely true. There was a total of about 12 people, I think, from Stephenville. But
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's just one of those things that we want to grow and expand on and believe in the goodness of it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's just good to watch the girls come back. And I always think it's like if you're married, you know, do some marriage retreats and stuff. If you are doing stuff with your kids, you need to create memories mm-hmm. and good stuff with them. And for my kiddos, we opted not to do this choir tour thing this summer. And so we've done some of this other stuff, and they responded really, really well to it. So it was good.
You've been camping it up.
Oh my gosh, I've been driving everywhere. For some of you single parents, y'all can relate. I'm kind of the sole, what's the right way to say it? The sole driver to these things. My 16-year-old is able to help out a little bit now here in town, but... But for those of y'all that sometimes struggle in your relationships with your previous spouses, we kind of put together the summer schedule with the girls and stuff, and then it was just, you're gonna drive them. No help there. So it's okay. It's reshuffled some things at the office here and there, and. and
but then you get the benefit of seeing them, you know, when you go to pick them up it. And getting to worship, seeing them worship, that's amazing.
No doubt, no doubt. I love that. And then I get to spend that time on the road with them is always good.
Especially like when you are coming home from camp and you're still on that high and their heart is good. And I mean, you know, it's just, you know, their growth and you get to see that like on the ride home.
Talk to them.
Talk to them and stuff. Because then once you get home and you've been home for a few days, then you kind of, you know, fall off of that or you
it's
just,
that
you know.
High. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's amazing that you get to see that.
It is good. And that's what is the, no doubt, the blessing, the benefit of kind of being the primary caregiver for the kiddos is that you always get to see that stuff. But on the camps and stuff, it's even more so. And then we, what else? We had Father's Day. I went to the Rangers game with the girls. They made me some awesome food. We did seared scallops and just, you know how I like my cauliflower rice.
Yes.
And so they made us some yummy, really, really good healthy dishes, which was great. And then, on Sunday we went to...
the Rangers game.
The Rangers game, and Macy came and joined us.
Good.
And then afterwards, the girls we had been talking about, Victoria and I had been talking about playing pool, and there's some age restrictions on some places around here. And so we went after the Rangers game. We left a little early, went to go get some bathing suits for the girls. Because they had to have one piece, like you know, the camp rules. And then we went and played pool for about 2.5 hours. And that was fun. It was just good. It was a place that was, there were several other families there, and it was just good and chill, and you know, it wasn't one of those dank, smoky places or anything. It was good. We had a great time.
Great time
at the game and
good Father's Day.
Yeah, it was great. We went down and we bought the cheap seats, and then the stadium was not very full, maybe 25%. So we actually went and sat down in some seats that were close to the
field. Awesome.
So kind of cheated a little bit.
And then you got to go pick out swimsuits.
And then I went to, I posted to somewhere. I was like, help me.
Sitting, went to Target.
Which the girls love, of course, but not my favorite thing. I'm cool with the shopping. It's part of being a girl dad. But, I'm kind of like, hey, let's go to Academy, you know, and they're like, no, let's go to someplace that's got more girly stuff. So that's what we did. And then we've done a couple cool things. Presley went back and saw her Cook Children's deal for her headaches, and he said, you know, she's getting better and everything's good. And so no restrictions on that. Just keep managing it. So we take an all natural, migraine, it's medicine, but it's a pill of just natural stuff. It's called MigraLeaf. For those of you that are out there, if you have questions about it, you can shoot me a message. Or you can look for it online.
Can you get it on Amazon?
MigraLeaf, MigraLeaf. But there's 3 or 4 different kinds, different types of it. And then she takes like fish oil and multivitamin and some other things. And then Victoria and I went and took part in a neurofeedback session. And so I'm going to look at getting that and utilizing that. And so it's one of the things I'll tell you guys here on the podcast on if it works for us. And so hopefully it will. There's some things that we have that one of them is called misophonia. When you get really, really aggravated, when people crunch and make noises and drinking noises and eating noises and stuff like that. And so...
like when they're loud when they eat?
Yeah, but when you actually truly have the thing, like the aggravation of it, it doesn't even have to be loud.
When you're aggravated at someone who's like eating ice or eating loud. Gotcha.
Or like smacking.
Smacking. That's right, Caleb. So there's another form of it called hyperacusis, and that's the crunching or the...
Okay.
But so we were laughing because, you know, it's generally like worse with older people, that make those noises. You're like, oh, shut up. And so a lot of you out there can probably relate to that. We went and did that and so I did it with her. And so, yeah, I'm going to get certified to do that, and then we'll offer it to some of my employees and coworkers and stuff, and see how it goes. So I'll let you know and let the podcast know kind of how that works out. I'm pretty interested to see.
I don't think I realized that's what it was when you were saying you were going to that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's basically a binaural beats type thing, but with the neurofeedback. When your brain gets sidetracked, it helps get you back on. So this is the neurofeedback thing. It's a proven technique that the American Association of Pediatrics, I think, has said that it is the same equivalency in terms of treatment. It's they're on equal footing with treatment with giving a kid medication for ADHD. I'm not against medicine, as you guys know. I prescribe stuff all the time, but if what I don't understand in American society and especially in my own family, if we have the capacity to do something that is either only beneficial or is there's no side effects to it that and it can help somebody and it keeps kids or adults off of medications, like why the hell wouldn't we do it? Why would we not do it? And the problem is because big pharma and everything that pushes this, and even the government. I'm a little bit, as I'm getting older, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, I have major issues with how we just prescribe medicine like stupid crazy. And so if the neurofeedback thing works and if I get certified to do it, I'm actually looking to maybe possibly offer it through my office.
That's
awesome.
As
a form of treatment, yeah. For people that have phobias or really whatever, I don't care. If it helps people and it helps you to focus on the right things and not focus on the wrong things. So something interesting about Victoria with that is that when she either gets in trouble or is really, really aggravated, the misophonia thing or the hypercussis thing, it's very sensitive. Like she just, every little thing will just bug the snot out of her. When she's super happy and everything's good and her brain is obviously focusing on really good, happy things, then it's almost a non-issue.
Huh.
When she's at school, she's able to block stuff out to where she can eat with her friends and stuff and it really doesn't bother her. She just doesn't focus on it. And so one of the things that is kind of a big push for me personally with my kids, with even in my practice, is, you know, with our brain, we can use our brain to heal us and to make ourselves sick. Mm-hmm. And obviously stuff happens. We get sick. I understand that. But understanding that with our brains, that's an inside job, that what we believe and how we believe. If you believe that you're sick for long enough, you're going to make yourself sick.
Yeah.
And there's a book out there, I forget the name of the doctor, it's called The Placebo Is You. It's my next book I'm going to read. And one of the things that he talks about in kind of my general area where I've been studying and training a lot for the last year and a half is about the power of the subconscious mind. And
it's
so
huge.
If you're eating right and you're exercising, you're doing the things we talked the other day, one doctor in England was saying, get 30 minutes of sunlight a day, do some physical resistance weight training, spend one meal with your family, try to cook meals that are prepared in the house, and so stick to things that are less fried, you know, use good oils and good fats.
Right.
And get away from the, you know, we try to do low carb stuff, but get away from the whole notion of being on a diet and just eat well.
Yeah.
And so doing all of those things together combined, reducing your stress, can help bring your insulin down, can help you keep the cortisol in a healthy balance, and you stay happier. And if you're happier, you're going to be healthier, and you're going to be less likely to get sick and stuff.
The sunlight thing is a huge one for me.
Yeah.
Huge. I struggle with feeling down in the winter, you know, when the sun sets so early.
Right.
Man, I have to make sure that I'm getting outside and doing stuff when the sun is out, because with it going down at 5:30 is not, like, I can tell a huge difference.
What trips me out is I see more and more young people that aren't getting outside.
Yeah, well, right.
You know, even some that work for me, they work all day. They're young, so they don't really want to exercise or don't think they need to in the morning. And then so they're in the office. They're tired when they get home. They go home and they eat or whatever, and then they're on their phones, computers, TV, whatever, and they're just not getting out.
Yeah.
And
well, so many jobs, like just in general, you're like Amazon hires all, you know, everybody works from home for Amazon a lot, you know.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they hire a ton of work from home. And so a lot of companies like that can do like customer service type of positions from their house.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of work from home moms, you know, that are trying to make a little bit of an income or whatever. But so many jobs are leading graphic designers. They all work from home, you know, like tech support. They can all do that from home because it's over the phone. So just as life progresses, you're having more work from home type of jobs. Therefore, you're not even like getting in your car to go to your job.
You're not even leaving your house.
You're not even parking in the parking lot to walk to your office anymore. You're just literally going from your bedroom to your office in the house. And so, a lot of people are not getting outside anymore.
Well, this will be a recurring theme that you'll see as we kind of do our thing over the years. But it's one of the reasons why we talked about finding your purpose and finding your why and what kind of fits within you so that you are in this state of flow and this state of positivity and staying away from negative energies and all that stuff. And you know, for us, a big part of that is spiritual stuff as well, obviously. But you know, you can be doing, everything's interconnected, and so you can be doing one thing really well. I can be going to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I can be involved in small groups, but if I ate like crap at home, guess what? I'm going to be out of balance. I'm going to be in inflammation. I'm going to feel like caca. That's poo-poo for those of you that are not Hispanic.
Why did you say
poo-poo? Poo-poo caca. It's just I grew up on the border. It's. Sorry, Caleb. Didn't mean to cuss in front of you. Yes.
Steven is weird.
Yes, I am weird. But when you are saying I'm gonna be a better version of myself today, I'm gonna be the best version of myself today, what ends up happening is you find yourself gravitating towards wanting to eat better. I look at the habits, the eating habits that we have had over the years, and they're just crap.
Yeah.
And so now we enjoy sweet stuff here and there, but we try to eat well majority of the time.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I think it has it has a lot to do with just doing what you can when you can slowly. Like, don't go into it and be like, okay, today, cold turkey, we're cutting all carbs. Amen. You're setting yourself up for failure if you do that. So, like, for me, I'm like, I'm going to start working out. Okay.
Right.
And so that takes a lot of commitment. I work out 5 or 6 times a week. And, you know, and then as I started working out and got used to that and got almost made it a habit in my schedule, then when I'm at home, it's like, well, I don't want to eat crap because then I'm just going to, whatever I did in the gym isn't going to matter because I'm eating like crap. So as you slowly do one or the other, like let's say you reverse it. Okay. So you guys are, you know, starting to eat better, and then eventually you're going to want to start exercising just because you feel better, because you're eating better.
That's
so for me, and I think for most people, it's so important that you just do it a little, you know, slowly, so that you don't, and like you said, don't say I'm on a diet. Don't use that word. Don't make yourself feel like, well, I'm never going to be able to eat ice cream again, or never going to be able to eat, you know, you just start making better choices as you can.
And some people do go really strict with it, and they want to do bodybuilding, and they want to do, and that's great too.
But you have to know your personality.
It's the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the balance. So if they're doing all of that, but spiritually, they're in a hole. Guess what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, people, but there's a God out there.
Yeah.
And if you're ignoring that aspect of your heart and your soul as human beings, you're going to have a void. You just are.
Yeah.
If you're taking care of that and your relationships suck, then that's going to lead to difficulty in other areas. If you have everything else is good, you know, you're in great shape, you're going to church, or you're spiritually, you're in a good place, you have, your relationships are good, but your finances suck. Mm-hmm. Well, you're never going to have peace in that area of your life until you address those things. So, like Samantha was saying, one step at a time, we both advocate for meditation also. And so that's a good one. There's lots of free apps out there. Do 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
What this one doctor I was listening to the other day, he said, you know, he challenges his people to do 5 minutes a day for 2 weeks, and then they meet again. And the patient's like, well, I'm starting to feel better. Check this out. So all this guy was already doing kind of a low-carb diet, but his insulin was still real high. He felt like crap. So all he did was get outside and saw sunlight for 30 minutes and then meditate for 5 days, for five minutes. Which if you meditate very much, 5 minutes, you really... it's not a very long time. You like literally do it and you're like done and you're like, yeah, whoa, that wasn't
right.
But in that period of time, this dude's insulin dropped. That was the only thing he changed. Wow. He actually started adding more carbs back in because this guy was being too strict with it. So it's one of those things that to understand the importance of the stressors and stuff, you don't, most of us can't undo our job. Most of us can't undo our families. We can't, you know, we're not going to get rid of kids. There's certain aspects of it we can, Caleb. I mean, it's possible, buddy. But you know, there's certain aspects of your personality. You know, God made you that way. Why not embrace that? Love it. Find people in your life that love you the way you are, and then run with that.
Right.
Like, why not make blessings with that in that? And as you do, and you find what works for you better, then what you'll find is that your stress goes down. And a lot of times, this guy also advocated for 90 minutes. He started with 30 minutes of no electronics before bedtime.
Oh, right.
But what he shoots for is the ultimate goal is 90 minutes of no electronics before bedtime. Allow your brain to unwind. Make sure you get a good night's rest. But give yourself a chance to actually unwind. And I've said before, that's a problem for me.
Me too.
I don't do that well. I've been doing good on eating. You know, I'm not as strict on the carb thing, but I'm still kind of losing a little bit. I could do better on the actual weight training. But the cutting, doing 90 minutes is tough. 30 minutes is not too bad for me. I'm just not consistent with it.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Yeah,
I'm not either. I put my phone on the charger away from my bed, so that it's not there right next to my bed,
right,
like to tempt me.
Yes.
And so it's like, okay, I'm putting it away. I have it across the room, and that way it's away, and you know, my alarm goes off in the morning, and then I don't check anything or reply to any texts until I've kind of got my morning going.
That's good.
You know, and
that's huge.
Start. So
because I will text her and give her stuff that is like I get up early.
Yeah.
And so I try not to do anything at 5 o'clock to you, but at 7 o'clock sometimes we do. So in saying that, as we kind of wrap things up and kind of put a bow on this, one of the things that we want to do as we do this, you know, our website, I mean, this podcast is called Motivation for Your Real Life. And so we want to leave you with some good things and help you guys be inspired and help you guys be positive and encouraged, not just by your life and your situation, but your opportunities. And so one of the things that I watched, and I think I posted it on there, is Earl Nightingale, which is this old dude, but super motivational. He was probably one of the big daddies from a long time ago. He's got a thing on YouTube, and it's the 30-day challenge. It's not his, obviously. Other people put it there. His 30-day challenge is just what do you want to change? And so the first question that you ask yourself is, what do you want more than anything else? And so on mine is just be happy. There's two things that I want right now, and I'm coming to understand more and more. One is freedom, right? And the other one is happiness. And I'm tying, those are getting tied together more and more as time goes on. Is there anything that you can think of that you want more than anything else? As far as where you're at in life right now, kind of priorities, is it financial freedom? Is it continue to to do what you're doing with Caleb and your business? Is it growing kind of your brand and your business and who you are? And
yeah, figuring out growing my brand and my business and being motivated to write my book.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of.
So that's
figuring out. So figuring out how to dedicate. I'm kind of a one or two task at a time person.
Amen.
And
raise your hand out there if you can relate.
Yeah, and so I have a hard time saying that. I feel like if I'm going to write my book, like I feel sometimes like that needs to be the only thing that I'm working on for a while because I really need to focus on it.
Yes.
But I also have to do my photography as my income.
Right.
And so like right now is a downtime with my photography that I should be doing more book writing. But at the same time, it's summertime and Caleb's out of school and we're shuffling things as we've been talking about, you know, keeping him busy and being busy in general. And so, I've always said that I want to go somewhere like, it doesn't have to be as extreme, but I've always said like, I wanted to go to Italy or somewhere for like 30 days. And that's all I do is focus on writing my book,
right,
you know,
right.
Like go just get away, which is not reality since I'm a single mom, but go somewhere and dedicate, even if it's just 2 weeks, to dedicate just that to writing my book. I get up in the morning, I have my coffee, I meditate, I ask Jesus to guide me what I'm going to write that day, and boom, I write, you know, here and there. But so I need to figure out how to better balance that because I do need to make an income.
Right.
And, but my book is really important to me. I feel like it's something that God really wants me to do. So I would like to learn how to multitask and be good at both things.
Right.
You know?
So there's something that I need to share with you later.
Okay.
I'll go find it, but it was one of the podcasts I was listening to and talking about what they do to cut out time to write. And they talk about doing the same thing, like taking time to travel or whatever, like this week would have been a good time with him not there, if you said. But along those lines, for those of you out there that might be thinking, hey, I'd really like to do something, I'm just not doing it yet. So the challenge there is to be intentional with it, right? And so if you can create a habit with that thing, so it may not, the difficulty with that is you may not have time every day to write, but you may say, I'm going to pick 3 days a week. It's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever, and come hell or high water for this hour and a half. That's what I'm going to do.
Right.
The difficulty when you're a parent or a single parent is, okay, sometimes, you know, life happens, yeah. Right? But it's kind of like eating right, right? So if I shoot for this goal and I hit it in the course of a month, I hit it 10 out of 12 times, then you're still doing more than what you were doing before.
Right.
And so that's something that is important. And so that going on to the next question, Earl Nightingale says, stop thinking about what you fear. Focus on what you can do. And so for me, I've pretty much stopped doing that in most of the big areas of my life. I was sharing with Samantha earlier. We worked cows today together out at the ranch. She came out and helped yesterday and today, and we had a great time. But for who I am and where I'm going, I my fear used to be that I was a father that was not going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That I wasn't going to be able to be good enough for my girls and to help them and to grow them. Now I realize that I am, and there's certain aspects of parenting that you just can't control.
Right.
I can't control what happens when they're in another house. I can't control when they're teenagers and making choices and decisions that
when you're not there.
It is choice and decisions they make. And so I had Bruce Van Horn, who is somebody that I've learned from, which you guys, if you want some good inspirational and uplifting, positive, godly stuff, go find him on Twitter, Facebook. I think he's on Instagram. Sorry, Bruce, but he's the one that said he realized that he was taking his kids to church and doing all that stuff, but he realized that he made himself the God because his pride was on trying to be a perfect father.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dope, dude, that was me. So I've released a lot of that, and I get it. And so I'm not doing that as much, but so I focus more on what I can do. And so a lot of times when people ask me, how do you get all this stuff done or how you do it? That's it, man. I do stuff. If I fail, if I get frustrated, today at the ranch, I got frustrated with some stuff for a while. And then I just, over a period of time, I just let it go. I just keep trucking. And I had to learn that skill because I used to stay pissed for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. So how about you? Stop thinking about what you can fear, focus on what you can do. Is there anything that kind of relates with you in that?
Yeah, I fear, I guess, I don't know if it's a fear, but I get overwhelmed because there is so many things that I could be doing. Like, I like to dabble in a lot of different stuff. That's part of my creative personality.
Right.
So I like photography. I like, you know, I'm a makeup artist as well. I'm a writer. I like to, you know, I have so many options that I fear them because I don't know, so I don't pick one, you
right,
know,
right.
And so that is something. And then being a good mom, that's, I fear, because like for you, it's basically all on you, like it's all on me, every decision, every
right
every single thing
is there
is on me. And I used to get really really, you know, anxious and emotional when Caleb would have to go to the doctor for something, whatever it was. It didn't even have to be a big thing, like ear infection or his asthma or whatever, because I'd be going, taking him, and I'm like, what if it's worse than, you know, what if it's worse than what I think? Like, for instance, one time we got there, I thought he had a bad cough, and it turned out he actually had pneumonia and bronchitis.
Right.
And so they tossed around the idea of admitting him into the hospital or not, and it's like, I fear them coming to me and saying, okay, you're the parent, you have the ultimate decision, and then I don't have anybody else to turn to say, what do you think?
Which sucks.
Yeah.
When you realize that stuff, but here's what I'm going to tell you. As soon as I said that, it sucks. On the other hand, it's kind of like what you told me about the blessing of, like, it's been tough shuffling the kids to the camps, but the blessing is I get to be there with them.
Right.
It sucks because sometimes you get exhausted being the only decision maker.
Yes.
Sometimes you're just like, oh shit, I want somebody to help. So I just want another person that loves me and loves them and cares. The reality is that that's not a reality for us. And so then it's either friends or family or just you. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, I don't know about you, as time has gone on, I've gotten better at having peace with making those decisions. Choice.
Yes. Yeah. So I, I won't get into the details, but a choice came, I had to make a decision the other day, and it was, something that I had been praying about, and it was like, it was a financial situation that I had been praying about. And basically God came to me and said, here's your answer. But it was, I had a choice of which answer to take, if that makes sense, without trying to get into the details. Anyway, I had a moment, like a lapse, and I was like, I have to ask somebody. Like, I felt like I needed to ask someone's, I needed someone's blessing. I needed someone to say, yes, you can use this money for
validation.
That. Validation,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I did reach out to someone in that moment. And then by the next day, it was like, they were like, you know, I reached out to someone and I was like, hey, I have an important question to ask you, you know. And then by the next day, they're like, okay, I'm free to talk. What is it? And I'm like,
I'm good. Yeah.
Like, it was just in that moment, you know, and I prayed about it, and then it was like, oh, well, God is telling you, like,
done.
This is, you know, you've asked me for this, and here's the answer for it, and, you know, done.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting better as well. It's just like in that moment, I kind of have a freak out moment that I don't even know that I'm doing. It's just like, it's an automatic, well, you can't make this choice by yourself, you know, but I've gotten better about that.
Well, in that fear, I think, is something a lot of people can relate to. I think there's a lot of you out there that are listening that are nodding your head going, yeah, me too. And unfortunately, as we have more divorce and we have separation in the world, you know, Samantha's a widow, and so there are certain aspects of that are different from choices. But there's a lot of families that can relate to that. And with that, it's a challenge for a lot of people out there. So what does that mean? That means, again, going back to the five or six core principles of eating well, taking good care of yourself, being healthy spiritually, taking time to pray, taking time to meditate, corporate worship, doing it with somebody else, doing it up in the mountains, you know, being comfortable spending time alone or with others. All right, so a couple other things. As we just said, stop thinking about what you fear, focus on what you can do. The next step in that is stop focusing on or thinking about how I'm going to do it. A lot of times you just need to focus on what you want, right? In your case, the book, right? And put energy and effort in terms of getting there. But if you put too much structure around it, I'm not even going to start.
Right.
And so,
which is my problem.
And so, so for a lot of this, going back to the thing, like mine is being happy right now, is having freedom. And so for you, it's, I bet you a dollar bill that if it's about spending more time intentionally being creative or being, having that creative side, which is going to include writing, you may spend some time, you know, painting or and not even editing pictures, because that's kind of more your job, right? But doing something that's truly more creative,
right?
And then I bet you what's going to happen is you're going to see some dominoes kind of fall there. Mm-hmm. For me, I focus on doing some other things, and then that happiness and joy comes. So don't as much focus about how exactly you're going to do those things. Focus on what you want, what's the thing, and then what's going to happen with that? What's the feeling or emotion that's attached to it? So in your case, the feeling or emotion that happens, that will happen when you sit down and write a part of the book, a chapter, whatever it is, 10 pages, how would you feel after you finish that, after you accomplish that, you get up?
It was feeling good.
You're going to feel accomplished. Yeah, you're going to feel like, that's like part of my goal. That's part of my goal.
Right.
For those of you that it's an eating thing, well, what happens? You do it well for a week and you lose 5, mm-hmm. 6, 8 pounds, whatever. Exercising, same thing. For some people out there, it's brushing their teeth, whatever. So a little thing, a little suggestion here is Mr. Nightingale said, on one side of a 3x5 card, write down your goal. And so whatever your goal is. Okay. So in this case, if it's to write, write all my book. And then on the second side, he said, to write, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened for you. So to keep that in front of you, and to remember, those are all scriptural things, by the way, and to remember that I have to believe that God wants it for me. He wants me to be joyful and happy and complete. And so keeping that thing in front of me is important. And then on the flip side, to remind me that it's already there.
Right.
It's already destined. It is predestined. It is the commitment has been made. And so the actions are the second half of that. You want to emotionally tie into what it is that you want.
Right.
And then when that happens and you want that emotion, you want that good feeling, and you can, what would that feel like when I do it? That would make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to be, then the how will come. How will you do it? The action plan. And the last part of it is, don't worry. Worry brings fear, and fear is crippling. Act and live as though it were impossible to fail. Worrying's not going to get you anywhere, peeps. And I know. I mean, it's something for a long time I struggled with. And so I just have to be very intentional about certain things. I make too many lists. I know that. But when I make the list, they allow me to kind of go somewhere else, you know.
Right.
And that works for me, and that helps me. There's times when I forget things. There's times when I do it imperfectly. But I think I do a damn good job, and I think I do a really good, healthy job of kind of taking care of everything. Yeah, man.
Yeah. You're killing it.
And so a lot of that comes from self-discipline. A lot of that comes from making sure I'm being focused on the right thing. The Playing the Matrix book that I read, you know, he talks about staying over on the left side of that matrix, which is about those big picture things, joy, mm-hmm. happiness, peace in my life, that stuff, and not focusing on the business works. And I want to get 10 papers written by the end of this week, you know,
right.
or 10 pages written.
Right.
I want to do, you know, the specifics of it. And if you focus on that stuff on the left side of the matrix, and you focus on the feelings and stuff that are associated with it. And that's what you're praying about. And that's what you're meditating about. And that's what you're speaking to other people. And that's what you're seeking. If you're seeking out these things in that manner, then it's going to manifest itself. It's going to happen. And I'm a perfect example of that in my life this last year and a half, 2 years. Okay, anything else to add? When we record this way, by the way, it says we only have 60 minutes. So you guys that are listening, y'all probably appreciate it because we're going to stop at 60 minutes.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, we're done. Okay. So do you want to share anything? So Samantha got to stick her arm up a cow's rear end to check and feel for a baby calf.
I did.
Do you want to share about that real quick?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so we worked cattle this morning together, as he said, and we were breeding the cattle. And there was a cow that was already pregnant, and we wanted to see how far along she might be. And so, put on a glove and stuck my hand up there, and all like shoulder deep, you go in deep. And so my dad is a farmer and a rancher, so I've seen it done before. It wasn't that foreign to me, but I had never actually physically done it. And so it was very cool. Of course, Stephen recorded it, you know, videoed, because he's always taking pictures and videos. But it was very neat. It was kind of surreal. I don't know how much detail you want me to go in, but
said it was warm.
And warm and squishy.
Squishy.
Yeah. But so
what do you feel on the calf? What do you...
I think a foot.
Yeah. This is a normal thing, by the way. If you're not familiar with how they... you know, check cows. Like, these cows get checked all the time this way. Yeah. And so you felt the foot. Usually the feet are sticking up, because that's kind of how the...
I mean, I have, you know, since I've never done it before, I don't really know what I was reaching for, where things should be. But as I initially went in, probably like right before I was about elbow deep, there was a resistance.
Yeah.
And so I asked them, I was like, okay, I feel like she's pushing back, or, you know, whatever, should I keep going? And they're like, yeah, just push through it. And it was nerve-wracking, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to hurt the baby, or, you know, whatever. But anyway, so I pushed through, and then she was like, then you'll be able to like move your hand up and down like you're bouncing a basketball and be able to feel the baby. Yeah. And so then when I went in deeper, then I could feel the baby. It was very, very cool.
So
it was very neat.
So that was Heather, who is our master person as far as helping take care of our cows. And also she worked at a dairy for years and years, and she this is what her job is. And so she was a great teacher, and it kind of explained her of what was going on. And it was cool. We have a small herd of mama cows, just around, I don't know, 50 or so, I guess. But for us, it's kind of a we're continuing on a love and a passion for our great grandparents that owned cows and lived in that area, and had, you know, they worked on this family farm. So good stuff, cool stuff. What else? Anything else?
No, we're just, I don't know.
That's it?
It was a good weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Good full weekend. So we hope you guys are doing well. Please, if you need anything, reach out to us. If you have questions, you can reach out to us there on Facebook, or you can go to Samantha's website, SamanthaAmidon.com, right?
Right.
And right. And so before we leave you, we just want to remind you to love your day and to love the ones you're with.
Be kind, follow your light, and be blessed.
All right. Y'all be well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.